Before we dig into God's word, come on, let's pray. Let's invite the Lord here this morning. I'm going to pray over us corporately, but right where you sit this morning, come on, open your heart and ask God to come and speak to you, minister to you, strengthen you. Lord, we thank you. What a privilege it is to be gathered in this place as your people, in your presence, God. His presence is here. That's amazing. We're so thankful, Lord, and thankful for your promises, which are found in your word. Oh, what a privilege it is to dig into what your word has to say about how to live life in a way that's pleasing to you and brings blessing into our lives, Lord, and makes a difference in the lives of others. And Lord, especially in this season, Lord, where much of the world in one way, shape, or form is somehow, some way acknowledging Christ, even if they don't know it. Lord, we say our hearts are fully focused on you today. We're determined, God, to press into you, to honor you, to worship you, and to receive from you, God. Thank you that your heart today, for any of us who is maybe hurting or weak or weary or wounded, any area, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, your heart is to show up this morning to heal and to strengthen and to restore. And we thank you for it this morning in the mighty, holy name of Jesus. And come on, all God's precious people said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2, let's read together. And it says this, or you can follow along on the screen behind us. It says, now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and she laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them at the inn. And I want to talk to you this morning about making room for Jesus. And here's the thing. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. You look around and our culture is obviously resisting God and eliminating God. I mean, taking determined steps to scrub God from the records of our history books and to remove God from any place where there's any mention of God. And our culture is opposing God. There's an antichrist spirit, and maybe every generation could have said this in some way, shape, or form. I believe, though, it's been increasing all the more. And I think that we as a generation of believers look around, and it's just obvious that our culture is resisting Jesus, resisting the word of God, pushing God out of our communities and out of our homes and out of our schools and out of the places where we gather, any mention. And so it's obvious as we look around, but here's the thing this morning is I'm speaking to men and women of God. I want to speak to the men of God who are called by his name and who are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to do great and mighty things and lead our wives and our families in a way that is faithful, in a way that is strong and courageous. I want to speak this morning to the women of destiny, the women of God, who are called by his name and who have been saved and rescued and now are moving forward to the purposes and the plans of God for your life and for your children and for the things that God has called you to and empowered you to. I want to speak this morning to the young people who I believe have the opportunity to be like Daniel was. And the Bible says that Daniel, because he knew his God, that he did great and mighty exploits. And I believe that there's the invitation for a generation of young people to know God in such a way that empowers them to be world changers for Jesus Christ, to receive the call of God and the seal of God and be empowered by the Spirit of God to go and make a difference. That's who I'm speaking to this morning. We know that our culture is resisting God, but I believe that even we as believers are at risk of our lives becoming so full. So full, so busy, so predeterminedly occupied, so full, so busy that we risk missing the fullness of what God desires to do in our lives. I want to talk to you this morning and in this season. I want to challenge us this morning and in this season to make room for Jesus in our hearts, to make room for Jesus in our homes, to make room for Jesus in our Christmas celebrations as we begin to gather and go and do and all the food and the music and the fun and all the things that go along with it and should go along with it. But I want to encourage this morning, we can get so busy. Come on, I'm talking to men and women and young people of God. We're at risk of becoming so busy and so our lives so full that we miss the fullness of what God desires to do in our life. Isn't it interesting that right from the start, God is sending Jesus, the promised Messiah, the one who would come and live a pure and spotless life and be worthy of being the sacrifice for all the sin of all of humanity. And right from the very start, he's just showing up on the scene, and already the culture has no room for him. There was no room for him at the end. Here's the thing. It didn't stop what God was up to, but it affected who got to be part of what God did. And we risk the same thing. God's going to do his thing. He's going to have his way. There's nothing that we can hold back or shrink back from that keeps God from eventually. I mean, the end of the book has already been written, and it's going to happen. But the question is, how much room will we make in our lives to be part of and to partner with God, to be part of the story, to make ourselves available, to be part of the plan, to make ourselves available, to be part of building the kingdom and part of furthering the gospel. You'd be surprised what God could do through you if you would just make room. I'm just telling you. Listen, I'm just telling you, wherever you come from, wherever you are today, whatever you're up against, whatever you've just gone through, whatever's in your future, whatever, I'm just telling you. You would be surprised at what God could and would do through you if you would just make room. I'm just telling you, I mean, he's no respecter of persons. He's just looking for people who will say, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God, I'll go. Yes, God, I'll serve. Yes, God, I'll give. Yes, God, I'll step out. Yes, God, I'll share. Yes, God, I'll pray. Yes, God. Whatever it is that you're calling us to, whatever it is you're calling me to, he's just looking for a people who will say yes to his call. But to say yes, we've got to make room in our lives. And right from the very start, the story of Christmas involves the fact that the culture already had no room, too full, no vacancy. Keep moving. Keep looking. Make room. Make room. Come on, there's a lot of the world. Again, there's a lot of the world that right now, whether they know it or not, they're just through the reference of Christmas, Christ is on people's lips. But there's something different that begins to happen. There's a different reward when we don't just pass casually through what God is doing or casually through this season of celebrating Christ, of celebrating Christmas. But when we begin to become intentional, and we begin to search out and seek out. Listen, there's one reward for believing, and it's a great reward. But there's a whole different life that's available when we go beyond believing and we begin seeking. When we begin seeking, Acts 17 says that we were created, that you were created, that the nations were created. In verse 27, why? So that they would seek him and perhaps reach out and find him. Though he is not far from any one of us, he's right there. He's right there. He's right there. He's very present, and he's ever present, but he's just looking for a people who will reach out. And you remember Jesus as he was going through the crowds, and he discerned that power had left him. And why? Because the woman who had the issue of blood had reached out, and she had grabbed the hem of his garment. And in a culture that is surrounded and bombarded by Christmas this and Christmas that, hopefully we're saying Christmas and not holiday or whatever, you know? I mean, Christ is the reason for this season, amen? But in this culture that many people are celebrating, what if we this season decided we were going to be intentional to really remember and to really celebrate? I mean, really remember the real reason for the season, that the manger happened with the cross in mind. The manger happened with the crucifixion and the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the payment of sins and for the opportunity to have an abundant life. The manger happened with the cross in mind. What if we were intentional seek after God. Come on, I just believe that there's a need for a restoration of a generation that seeks and hungers and searches and goes hard after God. I mean, really, we make a decision. Men of God, hear me this morning, where we're not just casual, lukewarm Christians, but we make a decision that our life, the greatest joy and privilege of our life is pursuing the call of God and the hand of God and the presence of God in our lives. There's a reward to believing that many, many people will receive, but there's a whole different life that's available through seeking after. I mentioned Acts 17, that we were created, that we would seek after him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Revelation 3, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." James 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." And many people are standing around or sitting around and waiting for God to do something in their life. And I believe that even though God is sovereign and he's fully sovereign, there's a part that we play, that we see evidence through this scripture. He says, seek and ask and knock. And he says, I'm knocking at the door of your life. And will we be the ones who will answer the call? Will we be the ones who will open the door? Will we be the ones who will make room in our hearts and in our homes, in our marriages, in our churches, in our interactions with people, in our Christmas celebrations? Will we make room? Will we answer the knock? He's knocking on your heart. He's knocking upon your life. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I believe there's some people in here. God's been knocking, and you've been preoccupying yourself because you don't want to answer. And in this season, I'm just telling you, I'm just encouraging you that this is the season to, once again, summon the courage and summon the faith, and by God's grace, not in your own strength, begin to open the door to the call of God on your life. Begin to open the door to the presence of God on your life. He's knocking on the door of your heart. He's knocking on your life. I'm just telling you, young couples, he's knocking on the door of your marriage. Will you let him in? Will you let him in? Will you make room for him in this season? Right from the very start, there was no room. There's a reward for believing, but there's a whole different life. There's a whole different reward when we go beyond and we begin seeking, searching after God. Come on, let that get in your spirit this morning. I just believe there's many of us, and listen, we're not immune from this. Getting so caught up in the culture of our world, getting so caught up in the busyness of our lives, that we kind of pay homage to Christ at Christmas. But I'm challenging us this morning to break free of some of those things, and with intentionality, with fervent focus, because of the desperation in our hearts to honor God, and because of the desperation in our hearts to encounter him in more ways and deeper ways and closer ways, to know him fully and to appreciate fully everything that he's done for us and everything that he's going to do for us. Because he's not finished with you, and the good thing that he began, his word says that he'll bring it to pass. He's the author and the perfecter. To press in, to come on, go beyond where we've been before, to a new place of searching and seeking out, to make room, to make room. Come on, look at your neighbor this morning and say, make room, make room, make room. Come on, look at someone, make eye contact with them. Come on, these are brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. Come on, have a little fun. Get to know someone this morning from afar. Come on, tell them, make room, make room, make room for, make room for Jesus. Make room. All right, you got your Bibles. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. We started out Luke 2. Now we're going to go back to the Old Testament. And this is one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. There's so much within this chapter. Just one little chapter of the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. So many miracles and so much to draw from this chapter. But I want to start in verse 8 and verse 9. And it says this, are you there, are you there? You need another minute? Are you there? Verse 8, verse 9, 2 Kings chapter 4. And it says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and other translations say well-to-do or wealthy. And another translation says prominent. So notable, prominent, wealthy, well-to-do, that's who this woman is. She was an influencer in the community. She probably owned a business or two or three, and she had done well for herself, and she was prominent in the community. People looked to her with esteem. She was wealthy, one translation says. And it says that there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food, Elisha the prophet. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. She must have been a good cook. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God." Speaking of Elisha, come on, a mighty, powerful prophet of God who was used of God in mighty ways in the Old Testament. And it says, "I know that this is a holy man of God who passes us by regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." She's saying, this is a mighty man of God, and we've done a few things for his life, but he's regularly passing us by, and I'm asking you, husband, can we take some time and spend some resources and make a determined effort to build a room for him, is what she's saying. And it says it happened one day that he came there, and he turned in to the upper room, and he laid down there. He began to stay in their home. And then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite woman." And when he called her, this woman of that was noteworthy and prominent and successful. When he called her, she stood before him, and he said to her, "Say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. You've made room in your life. You've made room in your family. You've made room in your home. You've made room for us." And he says, "Now, what can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?" And she answered and said, "I dwell among my own people." In other words, she was well known and she was in a good place, and there was not a pressing need or an issue that she needed for him to address for her. And Elisha responded and said, "Well, then what is it that is to be done for her?" That she had made room in her life. It got the attention of God. It got the attention of Elisha, this servant of God, this powerful prophet of God. He's saying, "What can I do for you then? You've made room in your home for me. You've made room in your life for me." And Gehazi answered and said, "Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old." So she said, "Call her." He said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." In other words, she was saying, "Don't get my hopes up. I've prayed that prayer. I've dreamed that dream. I've had that hope. I've held on to that thing, and it's always been fleeting. It's always passed me by." And it says, the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. What he had spoke into her life happened, and it not only happened, but it happened just in the right time. And if you go on and you read the rest of the chapter, the boy that was delivered to her miraculously because they had made room for the prophet of God actually ends up having a health challenge and ends up dying and passing away. But Elisha comes back into the scene and resurrects the boy back to life. You could read it for yourself for time's sake. We won't go through it all, but here's the point. She had made room for her miracle. And it says, this man is regularly passing us by. And I just want to tell you, life is passing you by. I mean, what do you know? I heard you right there. Amen. Life is passing us by. Opportunities are passing by. What opportunity is God presenting to you that's passing by, that you're just so caught up? Come on, I'm just telling you, I know I'm kind of challenging us this morning, but I believe if we'll answer this challenge, if we'll really be willing to be honest with ourselves and say, man, is it possible that I'm so caught up in the busyness of the culture and so caught up in all the things that I'm doing that there's some things that God's invited me to, there's some things and some ways in which he's knocking upon the door of my heart that I've been too busy to answer the door and answer the call? What opportunities? He was passing by regularly. He was passing by, always coming by. You could just picture it, always coming by the traffic and the commotion and the dust and the things of the day just going by. And finally, she said, this man, I discern. I recognize the hand of God. I recognize God is doing something. I recognize that there's something that God is doing here. Let's make room. She made room for a miracle. Come on, make room for your miracle. Look at someone next to you. Tell them, make room for your miracle. Make room for your miracle. Make room for your miracle. Everything changed. Everything changed. When she said, honey, let's make a room. Let's build a room. Come on, honey, get out your tools. Maybe was it DIY, you know, or do it yourself, DIY, you know, get out your tools, honey. Get out your tools, all that stuff that I've been buying you for Christmas over the last 10 years, you know, get out, let's put it to good use, you know. Let's put it to good use. Get it out, you know. Let's build a room. Let's add a room. Let's make room for what God is trying to do in our life. I want to encourage you this morning with four things that can prevent us, four areas that I believe that if we'll make room for God to move in our lives, we'll see the miracles of God in our lives. And number one is pride. And I want to talk to you a little bit differently about that this morning. You know, a lot of times we think and talk about pride about the way we think about ourselves. But I want to encourage you that maybe the greater limitation as it regards the effect of pride on our life, and especially the effect of pride on our ability to partner with God in our life, is not what we think about ourselves, that, oh, we're so good, but what we allow others, that others might think about us. That really, that's maybe even the greater pitfall of pride, is I'm too consumed and too concerned with what will they say. What will they think? If I embrace what Pastor T is challenging us to and I go beyond where I've ever been before and I begin to go further and I begin to seek after, I begin to search after, I begin to run after God and I begin to answer the call of God as he's knocking on my life, what will they think of me? Come on, turn back. I didn't know if I was going to go there, but I want to go there. 2 Kings chapter 4, you're actually right there in the same book. Go back to verse 2. Verse 2. We'll just read like four or five more verses of this, all in the same chapter. This is amazing. This is amazing. Elisha said to her, to another woman, this was a woman who had been widowed, and she was the mom of another prophet that traveled and did ministry with Elisha. So it would be like someone that you work with, that person's mom, and Elisha had it in his heart to do something for her. He said, what shall I do for you? And tell me, what have you in the house? And she said, your servant has nothing in the house except for a jar of oil. Then he said, go outside and borrow vessels from all your neighbors. Empty vessels. Come on, somebody say empty vessels. Empty vessels. And not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her, these empty vessels. They had gone out. He came to her and said, is there something I can do for you? She said, all I have is just this one jar of oil. And he said, go around to your neighbors and gather up as many empty vessels as you can. And then they began pouring. And it says, as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. And when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another. And then the oil stopped flowing. The oil of God, which represents the anointing of God to us and for us, that God desires to operate through us, was flowing as long as there were empty vessels. And I, you know, we talk about being filled with the Spirit, and it's right. I mean, it's right. But I really believe the better thing to focus on is not how filled I can be, but how empty can I become. How surrendered can I really become to God? Because that's the degree that I can be filled. That's the degree. Come on, I only got so much space for stuff in my soul and in my spirit and in my heart. I only got so much space. What's filling up your vessel? What do you need to begin to pour? Come on, it said, go gather as many empty vessels. As long as they had an empty vessel, there was oil enough to fill it. Make room. Make room. Make room. What are some things that maybe have been filling up and clogging up that the Spirit of God this morning is saying, man of God, pour that thing out. Make room in the vessel. Let me fill it with something new and something better. Come on, an anointing. Something that you've been doing in your own strength. Something that you've been warring against in your own strength. And God says this morning, if you would just pour it out and trust me, watch what I would fill you up with. Empty vessels. Listen, when we feel like we don't have enough, God's not looking for your enough. He's looking for us to become empty of ourselves. I mean, we just say, Lord, I come on, that's just a great place. That's a freeing place to get to when you finally just say, Lord, I can't do it in my own strength. I can't fight that battle in my own strength. I can't do marriage. I can't do family. I can't do all those things. I can't do what you call me to do in my own strength. And pride has challenged me to try to just do it my own way and do it according to my own strength. And I'm laying that down. And Lord, I just help me this morning to just be an empty vessel that you can begin to fill and that you can begin to flow through. What people think about us, maybe the greater risk is what people, not that we are going to become so full of ourselves and so self-aware of how awesome and amazing we are, but what we think about what other people think about us. And I want to encourage you that we make room for Jesus when we begin to care more for the people that we meet than what the people we meet think about us. We make room for Jesus when we care more about the people we meet than what they think about me. And there's a principle that I want to encourage you with this morning. Listen, there's a lot of people that need Jesus, and you are an ambassador of the kingdom. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there's the message of the gospel. There's the hope of the gospel that is in your life. And there are people that are in your life. There are people that are in your workplace. There are people that are at your Christmas party. There are people in your family that you only see once a year. Come on, crazy Uncle Larry and whoever it is that you only see once a year at Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever. There are people in your life that desperately need Jesus. And let me encourage you with something. There's a principle. This really helped me. There's a principle in God's word, the principle of sowing and watering and reaping. And so many times I feel like when I have an encounter with someone that I'm responsible to sow a word and to water the word and to reap the harvest, which means leading them to Jesus and getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and getting them confirmed to a church and getting them serving God with their life. And sometimes we need to just embrace the fact that we're just sowing a seed. Or sometimes there's a seed that's already been sown into that person's life, and we're just discerning. There's an opportunity for me to water a seed with a word of encouragement over this person's life. And then as we begin to just realize that, we look for those opportunities to discern, this is harvest time. There's seeds that have been sown into this person's life. There's a grandmother that's been praying over this person's life. There's a church family that this person's estranged from that's been praying. There's people that have been gathering behind closed doors and lifting up this person's name before the Father. There are seeds that have been sown, and there are seeds that have been watered through prayer. And now I'm discerning that this is the moment to reap a harvest of salvation. But can you just be released from feeling like every encounter with people we have to sow, water, and reap? Maybe sometimes you're just sowing a seed. Hey, I want to just encourage you that God loves you and that the challenges that you're going through, he's with you and he's for you. Just sow a seed. Just water a seed. Make room. When we do those kind of things, we make room for Jesus. I mean, think about it. An encounter with a person that you run into in the shopping line at Walmart as you're doing your Christmas shopping or preparing and gathering the things for your family, the people that you encounter, will we have the compassion and the courage? Will we care more for the person than what we care about what they might think about us? Will we make room for Jesus? Number two is our purpose. And our priorities, I'm going to combine these for time's sake. Our purpose and our priorities. Will we make room for Jesus in our purpose and in our priorities? We can get so caught up in our job and caught up in what we do, and that can begin to become our identity, our purpose and our priorities. Listen, I love what this says, Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. He said, Jesus said this, as you go, preach the message that the kingdom of God is here. As you go, I love that Jesus never, a lot of the things that you're up to are things that God has called you to, the job, the business that God's given you, the marriage and the family, the school and the sports and all those things are blessings from God. And he's not calling you, and you know, we've all got these busy schedules and we're trying to juggle. Well, how can I do? How can I serve God? Or how can I, he says right there, as you go, preach and proclaim that the kingdom of God is here, as you go. you don't have to drop this or drop that or drop. I mean, maybe sometimes God will highlight some things that the season is over or that needs to shift or whatever. But the thing that Jesus had in mind when he came and empowered us and entrusted us with the gospel is he knew that you would be involved on the police force, and he knew that you would be a teacher at the elementary school, and he knew that you would have the insurance company and the investment company. He knew that you would have those things. And so he said, as you go, just tell people about me. Just tell people the kingdom of God's touched my life. Jesus came and you just wouldn't believe what he's done in my life. The way he set me free and saved me and healed me and restored me and blessed me. And now, even though I'm weak, he's strong and he provides for me and he sees me through. And I go through difficult seasons, but he sees me through. And I'm just telling you, I don't know where you're at in your life, but can I tell you about a God who saved me and loved me and healed me and restored me and now is strengthening me to live the very best life that I ever could have possibly lived. And I didn't deserve any of it. It was all just by his saving grace. As you go, preach the word. Proclaim Jesus. Oh gosh, I got two more pages of notes, but you'll have to come back next week to hear it. Stand to your feet if you will. Let's respond. Come on, this I really believe, as I was preparing for this little mini Christmas series, that this was really going to be for some of us, I mean, a real pivotal moment in our faith journey with Jesus. I mean, really, just an opportunity. Some of us that have been serving God for a long time, and we've just kind of even got caught up in the motions of just knowing God and serving God and going to church and loving God and loving our family. But in this season, God's really inviting us to make room in a new way. There's a man. I discern he's a man of God. There's something he's doing, but he's regularly passing us by. That maybe this morning there's fresh faith to just no longer let some of those things that God is trying to do in your life pass you by. I mean, come on, I don't want to look up at the end of my life or get to heaven and look back and see all the things that God would have done if I would have just answered the door of his knock upon my heart. He's knocking on your heart. Behold, he said, behold, I'm knocking. If you'll answer me, come into your life. I'll come into your heart. We'll dine together. We'll fellowship together. We'll know one another. I'll help you with your weaknesses. I'll help you through your problems. I'll strengthen you. I'll forgive your sin. Make room in this season. Come on, can we be intentional? Especially in this Christmas season, all the celebrations, the office Christmas parties, the family gather. Come on, let's make room for him this morning. Thank you, Lord, right where you are. Come on, if you just want to respond to that, I just want to give you the freedom to just respond in your own way. You might want to lift your hands. And I just love this posture. It's in the Bible, you know, and as I lift my hands before God, it's just so powerful because it's dual purpose. At the same time these hands are lifted up, I'm saying, Lord, there's some things in my life that I'm bringing before you that have been filling those places that you want to fill. And I'm lifting my hands this morning to say, Lord, help me to become empty of those things. And then, Lord, in the same posture, my hands are presented. And, Lord, would you begin to fill? Would you begin to pour? Would you begin to fill those empty vessels? Come on, just picture it this morning. Those empty vessels, those things that we pour out. Maybe they're even good things, but we pour out. We say, God, now I'm holding this, and now there's room for you to come and for you to begin to pour your life and for you to begin to pour your grace and for you to begin to pour your words and for there to be your voice speaking into that place in my heart and for you to begin to bring your empowerment, Lord, and your grace for me to go now and begin to or continue to do the things that you've called me to do as a man of God, as a woman of God. Thank you, Lord. We just empty ourselves this morning. We make room for you, God. There's room in our hearts for you, God. That we say there's room in this church for you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and move in power and change people's lives and restore people and strengthen people. We say, come, God, in our lives. Come, Lord, fill our homes, Lord. As we fill our homes with trees and wreaths and gifts, Lord, let us not miss the opportunity to welcome you and your presence and your spirit, God, as we gather around tables and couches and sofas and living rooms and we prepare to dine and open gifts. Lord, let us not miss the opportunity to invite you into those moments in a way that maybe even just plants a seed or waters a seed, God. We want to make room for you in this season. We commit to that. Come on, if you'll commit to that, just tell the Lord, thank you. I just commit to that. I commit to just commit myself to make room for you in a new way in this season. Maybe than I even ever have before. I've served you for 30, 40, 50 years, but I'm committing in this season to just make room for you in a unique way, in a special way. Thank you, Lord. And then the last thing we'll do, we're about to worship God and then dismiss you back to your beautiful snowy day. But if you're here this morning and you are far from God, maybe you are a prodigal son or daughter, you once knew God, maybe you grew up in the church, but life's happened and whatever's happened and you're far from God. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never experienced, I mean, the amazing feeling of what it feels like to receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and have all that weight of your past and your sin and your guilt and your shame lifted off of you in a way that you could never do yourself. In a way that a loving Father did for you because he sent Jesus, his one and only Son. Whosoever shall believe upon him will not perish but have eternal life. And if that's you this morning, you fit in either one of those camps or anywhere in between, come on, just lift your hand high towards heaven. Just say, that's me, Pastor T. Giving my life, I'm rededicating my life. I'm asking God for the forgiveness of my sins and for a newness of life. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for these hands that are going up and what it represents, God, this morning. Hearts that are turning towards you and hearts that are coming alive in you. And all the things and the stuff and the junk all being washed away today because of the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, because of that cleansing flow of the blood of Jesus, because of your spirit and your presence alive in this place and moving in this place and touching hearts and touching lives this morning. That's why hands are going up this morning. And we thank you for it. The Bible says that even when one person responds to salvation, the heavens go nuts with praise. Angels are rejoicing. And come on, can we just put our hands together and just begin to rejoice and give thanks? I'm telling you, many people giving their life to Jesus this morning. Okay, let's pray that prayer. If you raise your hand this morning, we're going to pray it with you. And we do it for a couple reasons. One is to just quickly just show you we want to be your spiritual family and help you begin to grow in your personal relationship, your personal faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. And two is it reminds us we never graduate from grace. We need you, God. We need you. So come on, let's pray this prayer. We pray it often, but don't let it grow routine in your heart. Come on, prime it this morning with just fresh faith for what it means to you. Father, in Jesus' name, come on, pray it with everything you've got. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you. I thank you for sending Jesus. Pay the price I could never pay. To make a way that I could have a new life and a fresh start. I give you that life. I give you my trust. Because of Jesus, I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, someone ought to put your hands together for Jesus and what he's done in your life this morning. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's sing.